Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. New name change this week, we first of all want to mention, because I didn't realize that Steve Schuster already had a show called Around the Association going on in Winnipeg. We don't want to stomp on him in any way. So we're going to be This Week in the Association from now on. Kevin Lucco joining us here from Sioux Falls. Kevin, tell us a little bit about what's going on in Sioux Falls today.
Can we just call it like, couldn't we just be around the association US version, and it could be around the association Canada, and the show would be like 85% of ours going with the currency rate.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Or he
You
could
know
be
what though,
international.
this is catchier, so you know it's got potential marketing behind it, so it's a dawning of a new era, so we'll get this one on the road here.
It's sort of like when Saturday Night Live had to become Saturday Night just because Saturday Night Live was taken. So we're going along with that kind of theme here at this moment. So,
Of course.
well, let's talk about you're out there in Sioux Falls where the Saints are playing a three-game series with the third game being today at 12 o'clock. First of all, Dustin Crenshaw signed. You and I talked about this last week about how he really seemed to be a big boost to the pitching staff. Then he joins Mexico.
You know, you got to follow the money, and so the Mexican League comes calling, and got to take it. So I can't really blame him for going. Then everyone else has just got to step up.
Do you see, I mean, is this going to be a spot you're thinking that Benji Wade is going to wind up being that starter to fill in for him now?
Well, you know, the opportunity is there for him. I can see he hasn't pitched in a while, so he's throwing today. Georgia, I think, would optimistically be looking for 5 innings from him, but I think realistically 3 or 4. The bullpen's rested up. Connor Little threw a couple innings last night. Hamburger with a complete game the night before. So the pen's rested, so if they have to make it a full-fledged bullpen day, they should be in pretty decent shape.
Two guys that are really hitting incredibly well right now. Let's first of all start with Anthony Gallus, who extended his hitting streak to 11 games last night. This guy is not only hitting for power, he seems to be making, you know, getting on base, making contact with everything that's thrown to him right now. I'm kind of concerned because I'm thinking it's not going to be long before some affiliate club starts calling on him.
You know, the possibility is always looming there, but you know, he's one of many guys in the league too that are putting up huge numbers, and you just gotta wonder what the affiliate teams are looking for right now.
That may be an incredibly devastating blow should it happen because Breland Almodova and Brady Brzezinski hurt. You saw the injury to Brzezinski. Does George Samus need to make a move right now, or from your conversations with him, do we have an idea of where these guys are at health-wise?
Well, Almodova had surgery on his hand, so I'm guessing he's out long term, and he was on the inactive list. Brzezinski, I've been told, is a minor hamstring injury, so I guess you just kind of see where he is day to day. Don't try to push it with him, and maybe they can have him back in a week. But I know Samus has been looking for reinforcements right now. The roster, well, I should say the position players are down to 10 guys, so he is looking for reinforcements. So we'll see if anyone new is in the locker room in St. Paul tomorrow night.
The big guy that I'm finding to be that might be the move of the year so far is the fact that George releases Tony Caldwell, turns back to Max Garrett, and he is just absolutely smoking the ball right now, hitting over 400. He talked to me specifically about the fact that Ole had worked with him on improving his hitting, and it's showing.
You can tell with him. You can tell he's got a better approach at the plate. He's seems to be aggressive, and you have to wonder, he's wearing glasses this year. And I don't have any info on this. I don't have any inside stuff, but you have to wonder if maybe he's literally seeing the ball better.
That'd be a nice addition for sure. Well, before we heading around looking at the association this
I
week.
got a couple more things too
Oh,
with
yeah.
the Saints. Be remiss if we didn't mention Mark Hamburger setting the American Association complete game record on Monday night with his 15th complete game, breaking Ben Moore's record in, I believe, about half as many starts.
He's been unbelievable once he gets the ball. He's a true gamer going the entire distance in games.
Now he's tied for the league lead and wins with five. So you're definitely seeing the Mark Hamburger we've all become used to seeing.
He had the one bad start this season, which was kind of out of character after last year, where we saw he bursted out to the 11-0 record. I think that start really has kind of helped to get him and I don't mean to make it seem like Mark was not focused, but I think that's given him kind of an extra chip on his shoulder to go, hey, I'm not letting that happen again.
Well, I think you have that sometimes guys come in and they get off to a good start and they kind of forget what got them there and get a little complacent. And yeah, there's always the occasional wake up call, and maybe that was the wake up call for Mark.
Well, before we head talking about the association this week, I know you're out there at Sioux Falls. Charlie traveled with you there. What's Charlie got for us this week?
Well, I'm going to give him the phone. He's the last team we're at. There was a little bit of an incident, and well, I'm going to let Charlie talk. That's right. There was a little bit of an incident. I was there trying to watch a ball game, and some guy in shorts and tube socks and a sweater came over and told me I need to exercise. Nobody tells me to exercise. The guy was called Coach. He's no coach of mine. I don't have a coach. I go to the ballpark to watch a ball game. I don't need a coach. I don't get why you gotta have a coach at a ball game. I'm there to watch a ball game. I'm there for Kevin to buy me a hot dog and beer. I always make sure he buys because I love it when I get my food for free. But I don't get it. I don't get why these people are around. I just want to watch a ball game. Just leave me alone. I'm out of here. Kevin's gonna grill me some brats. I got nothing else to talk about. I'm out of here.
Yeah, I can't understand how Charlie wouldn't like the coach. That's one of the best entertainers they have. Very disappointing, Kevin. Got to honestly tell you.
I tell you, traveling in a car with him for 3 hours, with him rambling on about coach and this, that, and the other thing. I'm telling you, the guy has redeeming qualities, and it's just, you get him around baseball, and it's just a different Charlie. So I guess we'll keep working on him.
I can't imagine what he's got to say about nerd and nerdette. I mean,
Oh, geez, that might be a subject for another week.
yeah, it might have to be. Well,
I tell them just to kind of steer clear from him.
before talking about the association, I think it's important to discuss the elephant in the room, which is that the Major League Baseball draft was last week, which means that soon we should see a flood of players being released out of major league organizations. How do you see that affecting the races, maybe even a month from now?
You gotta imagine the guys that give out recommendations on these players that go undrafted are pretty valuable people right now because, yeah, it's the teams in the association don't have a minor league team to pluck guys from, so it's a lot of who's the first one to call the guy, who can make the best offer, who's got a good recommendation on them. It's a really tricky aspect of the league, and yeah, definitely you could see a guy because there's always a trickle down effect where player signs, got to slot the guy. Okay, well then one guy gets bumped up to double A maybe. Okay, somebody in double A gets released. Is he a good player? Who gets him? So yeah, there are definitely some potential gems out there, and when guys get released, they got a chip on their shoulder, they come in and they want to dominate a league, and the American Association gives them that opportunity, and I guess it'll be a wait and see on see who comes in. I mean, we've got guys that we had talked about, well, he could be an MVP, he could be an MVP. Well, potentially the MVP is not even in the league yet, when you think about it.
Very true. I think what you see with all of these releases is the fact that a team that, let's say, is right in the middle of the pack right now, gets a couple of big hitters, and all of a sudden they're the team that's to beat at that point.
Oh, definitely. So we'll see what happens.
Well,
there's so many teams that are in it that it's going to be a lot of teams looking for that one last piece.
I think you make a great point. Anyway,
we're on the Winnipeg here, right?
I think you make a great point about that. I just want to say 9 teams battling above 500, one player can make a significant difference in making a team that's 2 games above 500 be a team that's winning it all. I mean, we saw that last year, or 2 years ago, when Brebbia took Laredo all the way. And so it wouldn't surprise me if we see that again.
That's very possible.
Well, let's head around the North Division. We're going to, first of all, talk about Fargo-Moorhead. After a red-hot start, this team appears to be falling back to earth at this point.
Yeah, they're 4 games out now. They won a game last night in Kansas City. But, yeah, in general, for as hot as they started, they have, they've definitely been spinning their wheels lately.
One thing I really...
Yes.
Well, I was going to say, one thing I really noticed about them is that guys were usually used to seeing huge numbers from a Ryan Pineda, a Josh Mazzola, a Kes Carter, a Charlie Valerio, are really not having the kind of seasons that we're used to seeing. Kes Carter and Charlie Valerio in particular are really struggling at this point. Are these guys that the Red Hawks can depend upon and just ride this out for this point, or they got to start looking at making moves?
I believe Doug Simonek's a good evaluator of that, and we've seen with him he's not afraid to make a move if needed. He knows which guys might need to move on. He also knows which guys will eventually shake out of it. I mean, Josh Mazzola, he's been a great player in this league way too long to all of a sudden just give up on. So I think it's a mix of both. I think you can see some new guys come in, but I think some of them are just going to wait it out.
Our last week's show, we talked a little bit about whether there was concern about Tyler Alexander and how the start he had gotten himself off to. Then he goes out and totally blanks Wichita in an outstanding start. The league's best hitting team so far this year. It's looking like my concerns were a bit premature at this point.
Yeah, that's the thing when you get early in the year and a guy has one bad start, you just flat out look at the stats and they can be a bit deceiving. But yes, Alexander's been pitching well, doesn't have much to show for it for wins. But you know, like the game against Wichita, he pitched really well, didn't get a decision because he got out-dueled. Another guy, Cecilio Pimentel, got 5 wins for them, but after a really hot start, we've seen his ERA climb up as some teams have started to solve him. The wins are deceiving.
Heading on to the Winnipeg Goldeyes, the Goldeyes still have 2 of the best hitters in the league in terms of average. Sean Fleppner and Wes Darvall are still killing the ball at this particular point. But the rest of the offense seems to be tailing off some. Are they at the point right now where we're looking and saying this is the offense we should expect from this team for the rest of the season?
You know, it's been a rough stretch for them. They've lost 3 in a row now, 4 out of their last 5. They had Texas come up last week without 4 of their players, and they only managed to split with Winnipeg, lost 2 out of 3 to St. Paul, and now they lost a walk-off game to Lincoln last night, the night before they gave up the winning run in the 8th inning. So they are struggling. Yes, Darvall keeps rolling, hitting .366, even stealing 11 bases. Guess we didn't really notice that too much out of him last year. He's a guy hitting like 6th, 7th in the order. You don't expect him to be a running threat. So, but yeah, some guys have tailed off after hot starts, and some of those numbers may have been inflated with some games in the South earlier. So, yeah, Winnipeg has come back down to earth, but I think they're still going to be there in the end.
One guy that is having an exceptional year for Winnipeg is Dave Bergen. I don't really think he's getting mentioned as much because of the hot hitting start of a lot of guys on this team. 8 homers, hitting .290 right now. What are you projecting for him for the season?
I wouldn't be surprised if he you see him around 25 home runs at Winnipeg's a decent park for hitting in, and I think the folks in Winnipeg have to thank his girlfriend for the trade being made to send him up there. So good job, Winnipeg, on that one.
Soon to be wife, I'm understanding. I think he said March of next year he's going to wind up getting married. So that's pretty exciting news.
Good. Congratulations to them. Good to hear.
Absolutely. I think on spring break or something they're getting married at. So that'll be pretty nice for them. Ryan Chaffee, 9 saves so far this season for Winnipeg. He's been a huge key out of their bullpen. Kind of flying under the radar, though. You don't really hear a lot of talk about him at this point.
I think everybody was expecting Victor Capion, a returning from last year's team. I think a lot of people were expecting him to be the closer, but he's been serving as a setup guy. And, yeah, Chaffee's been kind of flying under the radar a bit. But at 9 wins, he must be doing something right.
Absolutely. Now, you're in Sioux Falls this week. So after you've watched the Canaries for the last couple of days, give us your impressions of this team.
You know, they're turning the corner. Had a rough start. They're hitting the ball really well right now. If you look at their pitching, a lot of high ERAs with the starters, and Bercher got his 3rd win last night, but before then nobody had more than 2 wins. But a team can hit the ball in a park like Sioux Falls Stadium. You definitely got to have a good hitting team. Jabari Henry had a huge night last night, 5 RBIs. He's the reigning player of the week. The first homer he had last night was like a little duck snort in the right field, but definitely the grand slam he hit was a no-doubter. And yeah, it's time to take him seriously. They swept Cleburne, something that Winnipeg, St. Paul, and North Fargo were able to do. And one guy I got to mention out of their staff, Dylan Thompson, got an ERA of 0.55 out of the bullpen. So, and the closer has struggled, so I wonder if we're going to eventually see Thompson switch spots with Inman. So, but yeah, they definitely are going to be a team to contend with. They got a little bit of work to do. They're still 6 games out, but I would not take them lightly.
They look like a team with the way that Mike Myers has built that organization at this point, that a couple of key pickups here, you know, from the after the Major League draft where some guys get released, and they could be a North Division champion.
I wouldn't count them out.
Well, let's talk. You mentioned about Joe Bercher. He comes out last night and tosses 6 shutout innings against the Saints. Is he back on track for them right at this point?
You know, he looked really good last night. But the thing with Bercher, even we saw it last year, St. Paul has had a lot of trouble with him, whether it be out here or in St. Paul. So maybe he's just got St. Paul's number. But, yeah, do a wait-and-see on Bercher. He was a solid pitcher for them last year, and he can step up as an ace. That's going to be a key part of getting them back in the race.
Well, let's head on to the Central Division. Before discussing individual teams, I think it's important to look at that you have all 4 of these teams above 500 once again. And I'm wondering at this point, is the winner of this division the team that can be beat up the least by their other foes within the division itself?
Oh, it's definitely going to be a dogfight. But I got it, you know, right now as we're looking at it, Lincoln is starting to pull away at 21-10. They equal Wichita for the best record in the league right now. But, yeah, I mean, it's solid all around. Sioux City, Kansas City, Erie. That's, you know, we talked about how tough the North Division is. Well, I think the Central is just as tough, if not a little tougher right now.
I'd agree with you there. Talking about the Lincoln Salt Dogs, they're leading that Central Division, tied for the best record in the American Association right now. The team's offense has really been picking it up over the last couple of weeks. Is this just coincidence, or are they the reason why this team is playing so well?
Oh, I believe it's a really big reason. Tommy Mendoza, who we've talked about before, is still in at 349. Randolph Oldeberg and Trevor Adams both have 7 home runs. Kurt Smith is still in the mix. So, yeah, I don't think it's any coincidence. The offense is solid for them.
The one guy who seems to be the hard luck pitcher so far this year for Lincoln is Bennett Perry. Now, I know you've talked on the show in previous weeks about how wins can sometimes be a deceiving statistic for a team, but this guy has a 1.24 ERA and only one win to show for it. I'm wondering if that becomes a little disconcerting for a guy when you go out and throw that way, but you walk away with nothing to show for it.
The pitcher knows what he did. Yeah, the wins are nice, and the contrast to that, J.R. Bunda has 5 wins out of the bullpen. So you got a reliever for Lincoln tied with the league lead for wins right now. So yeah, don't get me going on the whole win thing again, but yeah, it's a very deceiving stat. And I know when I look at stats, I look at ERA first, and runs, the whip is always a stat I look at, and then after a while I look at wins.
And we don't want you to get on the tirade like Charlie, so we'll get off the win subject. Looking at
Boy,
Kansas
if Charlie's got to
City,
calm me down, we got problems.
looking at Kansas City, Zach Walters signed the day after you and I talked about why we were amazed that he was still in the league last week. Who needs to step up for this team right now for them to keep this offense going?
I like to think that the room we did the show in last week was bugged by Kansas City scouts.
It could have been. Could have been.
But that was just way too soon after we did the show. They were on a 5-game winning streak until last night when Fargo managed to knock him off. Kevin Keyes keeps rolling for them. He's got 11 homers and 31 RBIs now. And when you lose a guy like Walters, it's just a matter of everybody kind of stepping up, doing a little bit here and there, and I think they'll be fine.
Three guys are really performing well out of Kansas City's bullpen right now, but beyond that, the cupboard's a little bare, from what I see for the T-Bones. Does that mean I look at this and think, does this mean the team needs to make a move to bolster that bullpen as the season gets to the hotter months?
Yeah, and boy, that Kansas City, he can be pretty, wipe a guy out in a hurry. But yeah, I could see as teams in the East where Calpietra managed, I'd say my teams there might be falling out of contention. They could be willing to strike a trade with an old friend and maybe you get some new blood in there and see how it mixes out in the end.
Looking at Sioux City, John Nogowski continues to hit above 400. We talk every week about some guy we don't understand why he's in the American Association. This is the guy this week I'm looking at and thinking, there isn't a room in affiliate ball for a guy hitting 400.
419. We're getting a little later in the year now. When a guy's holding that average for that long, it's definitely you would think that some scouts would be noticing.
I do want to say that if John Nogowski gets signed tomorrow, I think players are going to be contacting us to say, "Hey, mention us just so he can, get signed out." Like 2 weeks in a row, that'd be awesome. We got to see the Explorers last week, and this bullpen looked every bit as good as advertised by us when we talked about them last week. However, the starting pitching is really struggling right now. Do you see Steve Montgomery needing to make a move right now, or does he wait on this group to see what they can do?
It's hard to tell with Montgomery the way he manages his pitching staff. We saw it last year where guys that were in this bullpen became starters and vice versa. So I think he's going to try to manage his guys he's got right now, try to find their strengths and see if he can get some good starters out of them. And if not, definitely I can see him looking for a couple new arms.
The Gary South Shore Railcats were one team that did make moves directly after the draft ended. Do you see them as essentially done making moves right now?
No, I do not. As guys start falling out of organizations, and I can see Taggart making more moves. He just one that seems to tinker with the roster quite a bit. And the guy I see is see the Railcats play in May. We'll see their roster in July and think, okay, who's the new team?
The second or junior version. One guy I'm really kind of impressed with this season so far has been Drayson Johnson. I hope I'm saying Drayson is correct. A 0.60 ERA in 10 appearances, used a lot in the same way that Sioux City has used Rob Wart in the past. I see him as a key to this team's playoff chances.
Yeah, I think a stat that doesn't get enough recognition, whereas wins are overrated, I think holds are not recognized as much as they should be. And you got to have that guy that you can count on. Sometimes of course, the stat says you're saving the game in the ninth inning. Well, sometimes you're saving it in the seventh and the eighth. You got a guy like Johnson that you can depend on to get you bridge the gap between the starter and the closer. He's a valuable cog.
Looking at the South now, the Wichita Wingnuts tied for the American Association's best record, but 21-10. Is that a surprise that they've have just 21 wins in 31 games?
Boy, we're talking about the best record, tied for the best record in the league, and we're talking about that almost like it's a disappointment. It shows you what everybody was expecting out of Wichita, considering the division they're playing in. But yeah, I think they're just fine. I don't think they have to stress over trying to get 80 wins like some of us experts were expecting them to.
I don't think manager Pete Rose really cares about as long as they're going to make the playoffs. That's his run at this
point. As long as
point.
You're playing meaningful games in September.
That's all that matters. A guy who really is creaming the ball right now for them is TJ Mittelstadt. He homered three times on Monday, had a fourth yesterday, and so far in the first two games of the series with Salina. There's so many talented players on this team, but has he thrown himself into the MVP conversation?
He has, but I think he might have competition within his own team with Matt Chavez, whose numbers-wise is right up with him. And while that's a heck of a 1-2 punch in the middle of that order.
Well, you're not kidding about that. The Cleburne Railroaders, we talked earlier in the show about how well this Sioux City Explorers bullpen has been, but the Railroaders bullpen has just been incredible as well. Do you see this group carrying this team all the way to the playoffs?
That's where we've talked about whoever can be that second team in the South to play well with, being able to feast on Salina the most, being the team that could get the wild card. It could be the Railroaders, but they, no pun intended, got derailed a little bit over the weekend, being swept at home by Sioux Falls. So yeah, for them, they need to win the games they're supposed to, which meaning the games against Texas and Salina, and they need to at least go .500 against the other teams. Granted, it's a tough chore if you're playing a bunch of games against Central and Wichita, but yeah, I could see them making the playoffs if they manage to hold serve, and especially if the Central and the North all kind of beat up on each other. So yeah, it will be interesting to see how it all plays out. A guy I've noticed on their team, Patrick Mincy, is here. I talked about wins not being a big deal, and I'm going to brag about Mincy and his four wins right now, but he's got a 2.04 ERA to go with it. He has a pitcher that was basically a bullpen guy for Joplin and then Fargo last summer, and he's really upped his game this year. Good to see you.
He's kind of moved around in the league because I know he played for Wichita for a few months a couple of years ago too. So he's gotten around and really finally found a home, it looks like.
Good to see what we like to see in this league.
The one thing I do want to mention about the Railroaders schedule, I think they have like 32 games left with Texas and Salina for the rest of the season during this season. I'm thinking, wow, if this team were to win, 27 of those games or something, I think they almost locked themselves into that last wild card spot.
Which that gets you up to 45 wins. So yeah, then you gotta find a way to probably win like 10 to 15 against the rest of your schedule.
Looking at the Salina Stockade, still struggling on the field, which I think everybody expected. But one guy that I'm really impressed with that J.D. Drahty signed was Kubi Meyer. Guy's hitting .338 since joining the team. But a lot of teams are looking at him right now and thinking, well, that's the guy we're going to be looking at to try to sign for next year.
Yes, and I believe they cannot trade guys. Am I correct with that?
That's correct. Yes, they cannot trade within the league at all. That's correct.
So yeah, he's kind of stuck where he's at, and it's too bad because you'd like to see a guy like that maybe move on to a team where he could help a team make the playoffs or be a valuable part of the order instead of just kind of being a lone shiny spot in a otherwise pretty disastrous season for the Stockade.
Our last team for the in the league, the Texas Air Hogs, Dennis Phipps is on a bit of a hot streak now with four multi-hit games in his last eight games. Has he turned the corner and now we're seeing the Dennis Phipps that we've seen over the last few seasons?
Oh, I think so. When the Laredo Lemurs got dissolved, he was the one guy that everybody said, "Where's Phipps going to go?" He was the coveted free agent. I'm surprised he wound up in Texas. But it could just been a thing where wherever it was the best fit. And he was a veteran, so sometimes teams are already locked into their veterans. So maybe that was the only available spot. And I know his manager, Pete Incaviglia, was in Texas for a short time, so he may have talked him into going there. So Phipps, that's a guy too we talk about. He could move on to a different team come trade deadline and be that last piece of somebody's lineup.
The one thing I look at it with the Air Hogs is that there's some really impressive talent on the team, especially starter James Russell. I'm wondering at this point if it would be a good idea for this organization to make moves like the Saints did in 2014 when their season was kind of going south and manager George Samath started trading a bunch of guys away to get players and draw in guys for the 2015 season that made that a 74-win team. I'm wondering if Texas is in a position right now where maybe it's time for them to start looking for the future.
That could very well be, and it's kind of a catch-22 because right now they're having trouble drawing fans. So if you're trading away your best players and players that people want to come to the ballpark and see, then yes, you're getting assets for the future, but you're also kind of doing damage to yourself with people not coming out to the ballpark. And as much as the league's about winning, it's also about trying to be profitable too. So yeah, some fans would just kind of get the concept, but a lot of them are just saying, "Well, why do I want to see them play? They just get rid of all the good players." So it's a slippery slope there.
Well, heading into this this upcoming weekend, Winnipeg comes to town to St. Paul, which I think we're both believing is going to be quite an impressive series. Really a determiner early on of who might wind up being the North Division title winner. Are there things that you're looking at this weekend in the American Association?
That would be the key one is the Winnipeg St. Paul game, and you get, I should say, series. That's four games, and you get games within your own division. Those are swing games where you can either, if you're one up on a team, you win a game, you go two up. If you don't, you're tied. So there's always like a two-game difference with every game. So if one of those two teams can at least get three out of four, it's going to be huge. So should be some good ball at CHS Field this weekend.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us this week, Kevin.
Good to be here.